The anonymous landlord is more than just making profit from property. The anonymous landlord is about making profit in many different ways. It's not a product, it's not a training course, it's not something you can just have. It's a way of life, a quality of life. It's a business mindset, a system of automation that shapes the way you invest in property and the way you think about property. An anonymous landlord makes loads of money and continues to grow and grow and grow wealth without giving up any time or energy or effort. Because what's the point in making loads of money from property if you can't enjoy it? I'm Tom Soan and this is The Anonymous Landlord. Hi, this is Tom Soane with a drive-by episode of The Anonymous Landlord, because these are the things that I think about on my way to the office. But today I wanted to give you a quick overview about what is actually happening in the buy-to-let mortgage market. Right now it's October 2020 and yeah, we're still kind of in this lockdown COVID-19 situation. So a lot of mortgage lenders are making changes and getting stricter on their criteria and lending less, being tighter, more fussy. They're increasing fees, they're doing all these things. So I wanted to give you a few examples of what is happening that I can see. I've spoken to a few very trusted mortgage advisors as well, because there is a lot of mortgage advisors in the country. Not all of them are good. Luckily, I'm linked up with a couple of really good ones. But either way, first things first, mortgage rates for bridging finance and buy-to-let mortgages has crept up slightly. Now, there's a good reason for that. Of course, at the moment, there is an element of uncertainty in the world and definitely in the country. So what tends to happen is mortgage lenders, it's all a calculation. Because what will happen is where there's uncertainty or perhaps a bit of added risk, then the mortgage lenders will charge a bit more so that they can afford that risk down the line. So if normally their adverse debt, so people that don't make their mortgage payments or default on mortgages, if that sits around, argument's sake, 2%, then the mortgage lenders forecast that that figure might increase in this future by to 3%, for an example. So then all they need to do is just charge a bit more to the other 97% in order to cover the additional loss that they think they might make. So it's just mitigating their risks. They're just businesses at the end of the day. We can't really criticize them for that. But the rates definitely have crept up. Now, I'm going to separate this bit into two, because first of all, on bridging finance, not only have the rates crept up, but also the terms have changed as well. Now, just in case, as a quick recap, bridging finance or bridging loans are where you take a loan which bridges the gap between the purchase of a property and the refinance of a property. So if you're going to buy a property that's uninhabitable because you need to do a refurbishment in that place, then you could take a bridging loan, and the bridging loan will enable you to buy the property, and then you spend the money on the refurb and all of that. And then at the end of that, it's hopefully anyway worth more than when you bought it, and that's when you can refinance it with a mortgage and pay off that bridging loan. Now, typically a bridging loan is calculated and charged on a monthly basis. Now, ones that I've done historically, for example, have been 0.79 per month, so 0.79% of the loan per month. And normally they'll have something in place where there's a minimum term of 3 months, just so they know we are going to make 3 months worth of interest on this property deal, on this loan, which is fair. You know, everybody, all businesses have to make money. However, I've just done an application for a bridging loan, and they told me on one of them, they told me it was going to be a minimum term of 6 months. So they're obviously increasing their costs there. Now, the interest rate hadn't changed, but the minimum term had changed. So they were going to make an additional amount of money one way or another, because it wouldn't have taken me 6 months to get that loan repaid off. Similarly, there was another bridging loan application which I put through, where the bridging loan lender said that there was going to be a minimum term of 12 months that they will take unless I pay the loan off early. Now, that sounds really weird, right? So what they're effectively saying is I've got to give them 12 months worth of interest, and I will get back the difference of when I've paid it off. So if I pay it off in 6 months, they'll refund me 6 months worth of interest. Now, as it happened, the terms on both of those property deals were very good, so I could actually do that and still make a very good profit. So I'm all right with that. And look, you've just got to play the game, haven't you? At the end of the day, you've got to make profit, and you've got to make, you'd rather make profit than no profit, right? So yeah. So those were a couple of examples of how bridging loan lenders have changed their criteria and rates. Now, there's probably loads of changes there. The other thing I've noticed is the bridging loan lenders have asked for pretty much every single fine piece of detail I could ever provide to them, which doesn't normally happen. They do, of course, want to investigate and get as much information as possible. But in this case, they were asking me for everything. Literally inside leg measurement, everything. So they're obviously just covering their own backs. They're seeing that there's uncertainty and increased risk. So they want to make sure that they're lending to the right people in the right way, and covering their own backs and mitigating their risk as much as possible. And fair enough, you know what? It's just admin, isn't it? So I'm on to that, going to get all that across, and hopefully I'll complete on these properties very soon. But it has been a very delayed process, actually. Much more delayed than I would ever have thought. Surveyors have been really slow. And I don't mean this in any way detrimental against surveyors. I think that they're struggling themselves with workload, availability. They've had all this furlough situation where, you know, the housing market didn't really move as much as it should, and therefore the surveyors didn't really have as much work as they should. So they probably put staff on furlough. And don't forget, it's not just the surveyors that might have been put on furlough. It's the admin staff, the processing staff, support staff that the surveyors might have had to pick up the slack for. So I can understand it. The councils have been slow with searches and so on. Solicitors have been slow because, again, same situation. They've taken on a bigger workload because they furloughed staff. So anyway, I've drifted off topic there. What? I know. Me? No. So where was I? Bridging loan lenders, yes, they've increased their rates or changed their terms or both. They're also asking for a hell of a lot more information to make sure that they're not getting themselves into further risk. And then there's the mortgage lenders themselves, the buy-to-let mortgage lenders. Now, typically, buy-to-let mortgage lenders will lend up to 75% of the value of the property. There's a few lenders that might lend up to 80%, but not many, and they're hard to find. And if you do find them, then you have to be squeakier than squeaky clean in order to get them. So I would kind of base your estimations on a 75% loan to value. Now, a lot of the typical buy-to-let mortgage lenders have changed their loan to value. So they're only lending somewhere around the 65-70% mark, because they're just accounting for that risk of, it's a risk of uncertainty, let's face it. And that's what always damages everything, uncertainty. Because if you're uncertain about what's going to happen or what you think might happen in the future, then you tend to hedge your bets a little bit. And certainly in the mortgage world and the finance world, when there's uncertainty, they charge a bit more just to cover themselves in case of the worst case. So yes, mortgage lenders are changing their loan to value, LTV. That's the amount of the loan against the value of the property. So if it's a £100,000 property, at 75% they'll lend 75,000, at 65% they'll lend 65,000, and so on and so on and so on. So they're also increasing their rates a little. I've seen rates go from, so I got a couple of quotes, which were, let me think about this. There was one quote I got, this is just before lockdown, which was 3.49% on a 2-year fixed. The quote went up to 3.89 or 3.84 on a 5-year fixed. So you can see that the increasing rates, they're trying to tie people into those rates for a bit of added security. And I understand that. There was also just under 4% on a 2-year fixed that I was quoted. So, you know, there is a lot of uncertainty here. And all we can really do, like I say, is make sure that we're calculating correctly. If the deal still stacks up, then it's better to make profit than no profit. Don't just leave your money sitting in the bank. Oh, my goodness, no. Because there it just sits there doing nothing. You know, even making 5 or 6% on your money is better than making nothing. It's probably better than a pension as well. I did actually... yesterday I recorded a piece ranting about pensions because my mum's just been absolutely stung by her pension fund. Unbelievable. Anyway, have a listen to that one. So yeah, buy-to-let mortgage rates have jumped up a little bit. Not dramatically, not anything to be worried about. You just have to make sure you're making the right calculations. And also, arrangement fees have crept up a little bit. Arrangement fees for bridging loan finance as well as buy-to-let mortgages. So again, you just need to calculate that. They are being, all mortgage lenders that are lending at the moment are being a little bit tighter as well. So it's definitely worth preparing yourself for additional administration, paperwork, additional information to be provided. Now, my advice to you is, don't be too fussy about it. If the mortgage lender asks for information, prioritize that. Get the deal done right now while they're still lending. Because the worst thing that could possibly happen is while they're processing an application for something further to change, and then all of a sudden they pull out. Get the deal done. Get it in the bag. Get that property in. Make your profit. Move on to the next one. So look, there's a few little changes there. And lastly, I'd probably say that there are less mortgage products available now than there was perhaps this time last year. Definitely a lot less than there were this time a couple of years ago before we started the whole Brexit thing. I mean, we've had a bit of a rough time in the housing market, right? We had Brexit, first of all, and then we had a bit of a mess with Brexit. Now we've had lockdown and COVID-19. Wow. We've had a tough time. So if you are still investing and you're still making profit in this current climate, well done to you. And anybody who's trying to stay cautious and not investing because you're worried about what might or might not happen, then I would probably say, look, try and make profit. Just concentrate on that. Don't worry about what's going to happen over the next couple of years, because as long as you can just make profit, increase your assets, increase your asset value, cash flow in, appreciation up. If you can focus on those things, then the rest of it, the lending, the lenders, the loan companies, all of those places increasing and changing is just another calculation. That's all it is. It's just another calculation. It's like I always say, worry about the things that you can control and calculate the things that you can't control. You can't control whether mortgage lenders increase their rates or their fees or change their criteria. So you just calculate them. Calculate it into your offer, which you can control. You can control your own offer. So you worry about your offer and calculate things that you cannot have any control over. So yeah, there are less mortgage products out there right now. I get it. What they're trying to do is hedge their bets and decrease their risk. There are also less lenders lending actively at the moment. And that's a shame. And I kind of get it, because we are also, our mortgage market is also governed by global companies, global affairs as well. It's not just a UK-based bank lending to UK people, because quite often those UK-based lenders then sell your loan to another company, and that's how they make their money. Some do, some don't. Or they borrow against their lending book. So once you borrow some money from a mortgage lender, you go into their lending book. That's just a list of people who they've lent to. It's like a profit and loss type thing. What debt is owed to them and what profit they're going to make on that debt. So a lot of the time they borrow against that mortgage book. So there's loads of different ways and changes and different things that are to be considered. But yeah, definitely less products, definitely less mortgage lenders lending, definitely tighter criteria, definitely increased rates, but not by a huge amount. I haven't seen the mortgage market go mental. The only things that I've really seen are slight increases and delays. That's it. And by the way, if you're an estate agent listening to this, stick with it. If you've got sales that you're trying to push through and you're seeing delays with surveyors and lenders and solicitors and mortgage advisors and all of those types of people, then stick with them. Because do you know what? I'm going to actually do a bit of an expose. As soon as I've got one of these Newcastle properties through, I'm going to do an expose on one particular estate agent up there who has actually tried everything they can do to stop me from buying that property. And I suspect it's because they're doing something dodgy. So I'm going to expose them by name, because I know the game. I understand the estate agency world. I know the tricks. I know the things that agents do to get rid of one buyer to give a property to a favoured buyer. Perhaps the other buyer that they're trying to push in to muscle me out for is going to use their mortgage company, going to use their solicitor, going to use them to resell it. Maybe it's a friend or a family member, but I'll expose all. I promise you that, because it's absolutely disgusting, especially in the current market when actually it was their property that was causing the delays. Anyway, I was about to get into it then. I want to save it. I want to save it for a proper piece about all of these problems that this estate agent has caused. Terrible estate agent. And to think I own shares in their company as well. Anyway, I will name and shame. If you are buy-to-let investor, if you are a property investor in any kind, then stick with it. Focus on the profit. Make sure you're concentrating on the things that you can control and you're calculating the things that you can't control. And hopefully that's one more thing, isn't it? Because you know what? If you're going to be the best version of yourself at one thing, then hey, you need to be the best version of yourself at everything. My name's Tom Soane and I am the Anonymous Landlord. Thank you for joining me, and I hope you enjoyed this podcast. But before you go to the next episode, I really want to hear from you. Just search Tom Soane on any social media or just email me, tom@pinkstreet.co.uk. I'd love to know your thoughts on this episode. And if you need any help with your own situation, just get in touch. I'll answer every email and every message, I promise. Anyway, see you in the next podcast, and remember, being a landlord is hard. Being an anonymous landlord is easy. Invest, enjoy, repeat, and grow.